All right, let's go. Okay, and the music's going. All right, here we are, Tim. I know there's a lot of things going on in the hockey world, but I have to say about Kessel. See, the owner had a plane, chartered a plane to keep his streak going. And I remember back in when I coached, Gary Younger. Remember Gary Younger? He had long blonde hair, beautiful hair. And he was going to break the streak. And I think Al McNeil was his coach.
Right, so it was the Iron Man streak. Was
yeah, the Iron Man streak.
Consecutive games played.
Yeah, Iron Man. Bill Kessel, Iron Man. Figure that one out. And Doug Jarvis, well, he kind of played took draws and things like that. He was pretty good. But I remember Gary Younger, he got benched. Al McNeil, his coach, benched him, and he was going for the record. Where he did have
he broke the record, but it just was after the record. He just
every town he went into, it was a Gary Younger, Iron Man, and he got sick of it. And Al McNeil, and he'd won a Stanley Cup. He knew what was going on.
Yep.
He benched him. Cindy, do you remember when I was in Spokane?
We were just talking about that. What happened was, just to get people, Phil Kessel was playing in Detroit. He played one shift, got on a plane, went back because his wife was having a child, or his girlfriend was having...
His
wife is having a kid.
Yeah.
So we were saying that when your day, Dad, that when playing, that didn't happen.
When Cindy was born, I was playing in Cleveland in the playoffs. And when I got there... But do you remember when...
I remember when mom was 8.5 months pregnant, and you would have been in where? Where
Spokane.
Were you? Spokane. And I don't know, in those days, even me, I mean, you want to be around your family, your mother. I mean, that's the main thing. And Ma flew back from Spokane, Washington, to Hershey, her hometown.
1963.
Right, right.
But tell that story.
Well, we had, and we had the dog. We had Ginger.
Ginger.
We had a Ginger. So I would have been 7 years old, and mom flew back. And I remember we could hear the dog. We gave it a doggy downers and all that. But you could hear the dog
must
barking.
Must have been a small plane.
Yeah, a small plane. We could hear it barking. So there, mom. We would have flown into Harrisburg, right? Because that would have been the airport.
Yeah.
And mom took her shoes off during the plane ride because, you know, her feet are swollen. She's 8.5 months pregnant. And her feet swelled. She couldn't get her shoes back on.
Oh, boy.
So now they have to carry her. In those days, the plane was on the runway.
It's on the tarmac.
It's none of this tunnel thing and all this. So there she is. She's being carried off the plane, the seven-year-old in tow. Then she's got to wait for the dog to come out of cargo. Then the dog, she wants to let the dog out because it's growing crazy. She lets the dog out in the airport, pees all over the place, on her bare feet, everything. Like, can you imagine what she must have gone through?
Yeah.
Or what your in-laws must have thought? Like, poor dog.
I remember coming home one day, and I said, I had, that's a long story, Pat Egan was the coach, and I had broke my stick over. What a jerk I was. And I said, we're going, and he came up and gave me a note. I was going to Three Rivers, Quebec because of that incident. I just couldn't go along with easy, like...
So you ask Eddie Shore, though, how to get to Quebec, or Three Rivers, right? What did he tell you?
So I walked in and I said, we're going to Three Rivers. She said, three... Now, this is a wife that come from Hershey, Pennsylvania. I think Atlantic City was the closest they'd ever been outside of Hershey. She says, I said, Three Rivers, Quebec? And I says, I have no idea.
Hit the Canadian border and turn
right. I asked Shore. He says, you go through Vermont, you go through New Hampshire, I guess it is, and you hit the Canadian border, you turn right. Actually, I turned left or something. I was lost. I must tell you that story. But anyhow.
But just think, Mom, when you were in Hershey, she thought she was going to spend your rest of your career in Hershey.
Yeah.
First year you're married, you get traded to Springfield.
To the Devil's Island. Worst place. I was looking at that the other day. Boston, 22 years old, they give up on me. I mean, 22 years old. So I, anyhow, I went to Three Rivers, Quebec, and it was and yeah, I enjoyed it there. And I remember you, Cindy, used to be dressed in blue all the time.
What, in Quebec?
Yeah.
And well, I could speak. I would have been how old? I would probably would have been three years old and all that. Yeah, I could speak. I could speak fluent French then.
Yeah.
Because we had French babysitters. TV was all French except for the one channel, Flower Pot Men.
Long story. It's a long story. But anyhow, I remember Rose getting ready to go to Three Rivers. And God love her. We had a cardboard box. Oh. And we put in half the ketchup. And half the sugar and, you know.
Mustard
and stuff like that because we couldn't afford it at the time.
Excuse me, Cindy. So did all the wives do that, though?
Yeah. As I know, Mom's, I had said, well, where's so-and-so? Oh, she went back home. That was Mom's thing, back home. They went back home to give birth. Because, I mean, they're by themselves out, you know, they don't have any family wherever they are. And I don't know, as I said, with me, I mean, you went... When you're giving birth, you want your mother around.
Well, you both were born in Hershey.
That's right.
Timothy,
I was born in Hershey, yep.
And that's what Rose did care about me. Oh, she cared about me. But she knew that
you probably weren't going to be around anyway at the hospital.
Well,
so why
I was
not
in
go
the
back?
Playoffs.
Well, yeah.
When you were born.
That's right, March. Yeah.
So anyhow, Phil Kessel, he took a trip back. Chartered a plane back, so he played the 30-second shift.
And then he came back, and then he played in Toronto.
He played pretty good too.
Well, the women
imagine
today.
He's an Iron Man. He'll be the Iron Man.
But wasn't it in the day though, Dad, in the '70s that the players kind of looked at the Iron Guy and they snickered a little bit at him?
Yeah, you know, guy, an Iron Man.
Like you know,
and Gary Younger was not an Iron Man, and
you don't get hurt is basically it.
Yeah, like Cashman, he was always hurt. But he still played. But he was in the corner banging and smashing and everything. Now, he was an Iron Man.
So, you know, Dad, you just mentioned Wayne Cashman. I remember watching Wayne Cashman. In almost every game, I saw him talking to the refs, taking...
Cash had a funny thing. You're absolutely right. And what he used to do is, if you don't humiliate referees, you can call them anything you want. As long as the crowd doesn't know it... And he used to let on, he was taking tape off his stick. And he'd talk to them that. And he never, ever got a misconduct. And I used to see him all the time talking to referees. And that's what happened to John Cooper. And a lot of people wonder why he got thrown out. He got thrown out because he went over and talked to Mike Sullivan, the Pittsburgh coach, and never talked to him.
Yeah, the ref didn't come over and talk to him.
You know, and that ticks you. And you know... Back when I coached, the referees never, ever come over to the bench.
Yeah, that's the thing. I like watching it. And today they do, like, all the time you see the refs talking.
What are they saying? Like, are they explaining the game to them?
They're explaining them or explaining what's going on. But when you coached, very rarely.
Ever.
Did the referees ever come over and talk to
you? Never come over.
Except when they were telling you how great your suit is.
Yeah. Cool. No, they never come over. They never come. And I remember one time. In Pittsburgh, I had to talk to, I forget the guy's name, what was the guy's name, the referee's name, Ron?
Ron Wicks?
Yeah, Ron Wicks. And I jumped on the ice, and in Pittsburgh, you had to go across the ice. And I'm running across, and I started to slide. Holy shit, I couldn't stop sliding, and I banged up on your boards. Boy, I get $2,500, I think that cost me.
So remember the back when you coached, it was the captain or the assistant captains that the refs would talk to, and that was it. That they wouldn't talk to anybody else. No, they talked to everybody. But remember Brad Park and the
Brad Park. What did I tell you about Brad Park? You know, the referee went over and you know he was talking to him and he come to the bench here, and I saw Tom to go.
So Brad tells you this is what the ref said. You got mad and then
I saw Tom to go. So I just kidding, you know, F himself. And he went over and told a referee.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. Grape says, you can go F yourself. You said that to him?
Did you get a penalty?
Oh, no, but
you paid for it.
I paid for it later.
Yeah, I know. He'll make up
after,
for
penalty
it.
Penalty after. What an awful thing. You know, I said, what are you, stupid? And I never forgot that.
Well, you know what? One thing I remember that was we were coaching in Colorado, and there was a big schmozzle, and I think Mike Christie was an assistant captain, and it was in Buffalo, I think, or against Buffalo, and Danny Gare was the captain or assistant. So the referee was in the corner explaining everything to them, and you could see Danny Gare and Mike Christie were arguing. Yeah, and like, and then they're arguing with the ref, and then you know, you could see Mike Christie look at Danny Gare and say, "Come on, are you serious?" And yeah, and then they both dropped their gloves and started to fight.
Right? It was a great picture of Mike Christie with his nose up against the glass in the paper the next day. Yeah. No,
like we noticed that when even we go out with minor midgets, the referees talk way too much to the coaches, and it just gets out of hand, right?
Yeah, and the coach says something, and now he's in trouble. And the referees know they're not stupid; they're good referees, and they call those chintzy penalties. They better charge those. They better have those chintzy penalties because they're told to.
Yeah, they've been really criticized the last week, especially for some of the stuff that's going on, and. It's, again, how crazy the world is. The players are complaining that the refs aren't calling penalties, which used to be the opposite. The refs always were complaining the refs were calling too many penalties.
Well, you can see, though, after a penalty, the guy, you know, it's funny. On television now, they have power play. They used to have for interference. Down in the States, they just have power play because they don't know what it's for. Well, neither does the player know what it's for, so they just put power play on.
Yeah, I don't think you like the stuff that was going on. Well, the big one in Toronto, everybody knows, like Chychrun grabbed Matthews.
Yeah, but he did grab it. It was interference.
Yeah, but I mean Matthews was kind of playing that right off the bat. Like his hand was in the air even before he grabbed him. The only thing that I think was really a bad one was Ovechkin hooking Hyman, which was like unbelievable. Like he got a rope, but then there was Kadri. The whole thing with Kadri in Colorado and Langestad gave it to the
referee. Well, the referee, like I said, if the referees don't call him, they don't referees. They're told, and referees know. Believe me, they know what's going on.
So, Dad, I'd like to thank our sponsors, Spreads.ca. They're a Canadian-owned online casino and sportsbook. And if you sign up now and use the promo Grapes, they match your deposit up to $500. You get 10 spins on the big wheel. And if you get 3 of your jackets, you get some big money.
There's a lot of them out there now.
There is. And then your first sports bet, they'll spot you $25. And so,
why would anybody want to do anything else?
Yeah,
so good.
And you know, they're great. They're, you know, if you don't see .ca, you know that they're usually either American, not even American, they're probably offshore. So they're a great, they've been a good sponsor to us and a good sponsor to our Don Trey Pet Rescue Foundation, everything. So check them out because there's...
Check them out. If you're going to bet, that's the people to bet with because they help the dogs. And
I still think, though, hockey's the hardest sport to bet. You know what I mean? Like basketball, you know, maybe the spread, but...
No, I know. I could make money if I... I know when the team's going to win and when they're going to lose. Well, I usually do.
Usually, yeah. So, the Leafs goaltenders have been struggling a little bit, to say the least. Campbell's hurt now. He's out for 2 weeks. And there was the game this past week, and Keith pulled Mrazek after 3 goals. So,
you know, pulling the goaltender, sometimes it works. It makes the other team, you know, it makes the team work harder because they want to help the guy and all that. The problem with your dad is, the way I felt as a coach, you got us into this, now get us out. Because when you pull a goaltender, after he lets in a couple of bad, he thinks they're a couple of bad goals, he starts looking at the bench. Is he going to pull me? Is he going to pull me? And that's a bad sign when they start looking at the bench. And now take Mrazek, for instance. If he lets in a couple of bad goals, you can rest assured he's looking at the bench as if he's going to be pulled. So I never pulled my goaltenders. If you want an example, when Reese was in the net, I would never pull him. You got us into this, now get us out.
Well, that's when Sittler was scoring all those
goals. Yeah, get all those points.
Well, there was that one time in New York with Hardy Astrom when he wanted to be pulled and you refused to pull him.
We were in New York, and all of, you know, if we only had it done good in New York, we were losing 6-0, I think. Hardy was doing his thing. And I said to Kevin Morrison, I said, Kevin, he wants to bail. He wants the other guy to go in. I could see he was
waving at the bench, wasn't he?
He was waving at the bench. And I said, if he gets to the blue line, you push him back in the nets.
Can I ask if you could do a public service announcement for minor coaches in the sense of if they're going to pull their little goalies in when they're playing?
Oh, yeah, remember that time?
Oh, don't get me going. But anyway, like if you're going to pull your goalie and there's only 2 minutes to go in the period, you know, like wait till the end of the period to switch your goalies.
But remember the time I was a little late coming into the game?
Oh, we wouldn't even go. That's what he's talking about.
And
that
said,
brutal.
I thought Dell was playing.
Yeah.
No, and
yeah, he had what a coach he had. First two shots of Dell going in, and were tip-ins in the first 2 minutes of the game, and they pulled.
I have to leave, and Roger was next to me, your husband, and he said, why are you leaving? I said, because if I don't leave, I'm going to be tried for murder tomorrow.
Yeah, I remember when we used to go on, when we were watching the warm-ups of the minor midget.
Remember that little kid? And we were watching the game. And he pulled that little kid, and he was on the bench, and he wouldn't take his mask off. Remember?
Yeah, there's a few real bad ones. But when you and I were watching the warm-ups, first of all, there's only like 3 minute warm-ups, right? Yeah. To warm up the goalie, and half the time the goalie might touch the puck two or three times because the kids are ringing them off the post and up the thing. And that's why we always noticed that there would always be goal scored on the first few shots.
Yeah.
Because the goalies are stone cold because they don't, you know, the...
Coffee had a good...
Paul Coffey coached the Toronto Marlies, like a professional one. Like the goalie got lots of shots. But some of the times you see the coaches, they're doing two-on-ones. And they got 3 minutes to warm up the goalie, and he might get two or three shots. First shot comes down, bing, it's in the net, because the goalies are stone cold.
But can I ask, is it maybe these coaches, especially if you're in A or AA, they're just the dads, right? They actually think the warm-up might be for the players, and it's for the goalie. You're warming up your goalie. You're not taking his head off. You know, you're just warming him up. Remember the shots on Dell when he was in them?
They'd be ringing him off
his head. I remember you saying, if he survives the warm-up, Cindy, it'll be a miracle. I go, I know, I can't watch. You know, it was just brutal, his coaches. But, I mean, let's just do a
warm-ups are for the goalies.
Warm-ups are for goalies, not for the shooters.
Especially in minor hockey when you have 3 minutes.
You only have 3 minutes. Boy, I used to go, remember, they'd be ringing them off the glass and banging.
Yeah. Well, I remember. I think the worst goalie pull I've ever seen in minor hockey was... It was in the playoffs, and this team was kind of the underdog against the powerhouse Toronto Marlies, and it was 0-0 halfway through the game, and the Marlies scored on a breakaway, and the guy pulled the goalie. And they ended up losing, like 5-0. The other kid came in, and they just whomped them 5-0.
You know, Tim, I have a theory on what we're talking about here, goaltenders and right defensemen and left defensemen, and if I had a young son and he was starting out, I would first of all, I'd get rid of all my sticks because I usually shoot left. I would get some right-handed sticks with the little curve, you know, with the right-handed sticks, and I would have them laying around. And when the kid would pick up the sticks, he'd shoot right-handed. Because right now, if you're even in talent, like say you're even in talent and you shoot right, and you're a defenseman, you'll get picked on the club because everybody wants a right-handed shooter defenseman.
Right, because we looked into it. The top 10 forwards in the league right now scoring, only one is right-handed.
Isn't that something?
Ovechkin. But if you do the top 10 scoring defensemen, half of them are right-handed.
Everybody wants a right-handed defenseman. Remember that. If you have a young son, get rid of all your sticks because you'll be shooting left. I know you'd be shooting left, and get a right and have him when he picks up a stick. It should have a slight right curve. Everybody knows what a right-handed shot is, and because everybody in hockey is after a right-handed defenseman right now.
So, Dad, we're talking about the top scoring and stuff like that. So, we'll do a little trivia. Over the last 10 seasons, who has scored the most points?
I would say Crosby.
What do you think, Sam?
Well, I was going to say that because he would be the most obvious.
Right. I would say either Crosby or Ovechkin. That was my two picks. But it's Patrick Kane.
No kidding, eh?
Yep,
I remember when he came, like we used to have the young guys come up and they used to go and visit all the, you know.
Yeah, just the guys who were going to be drafted that year.
Okay. I thought this kid, he wasn't, I said, who is, like, he was the first guy up. And he was standing there, and I thought he was a stick boy. He was so small and so thin.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's funny thing is, I watch pretty closely Chicago games. Nobody runs him or go after him or sticks him or and
he kind of minds his own business, though.
He does. He doesn't run anybody, and boy, he must be nice to play that way.
Yeah. So it's here's the top 10 over the top over the last 10 years are the top scorers. So Kane, then Crosby, then Ovechkin. That Brad Marchand.
Imagine that, and the way Marchand plays. He's missed half the season.
Yeah, how many suspensions? If he didn't get suspended, he might be leading it. John Tavares, then Blake Wheeler, then Claude Giroux, Connor McDavid, and he's only played seven years.
Imagine
the other guy's got three more seasons on him. Nicholas Backstrom, and the one that kind of surprised me is Nathan MacKinnon, and he's only played he's played one last year.
Yeah, he is a horse. He's out in Colorado, and nobody, you know, you don't hear of him when he gets out in Colorado.
You do kind of lose that.
Okay, you lose when you get out
there. As soon as you get west of the Mississippi, that's it. You're gone.
I remember getting my gas. I was coming back from Wolf Island, and I stopped into a place, and the kid was filling up my gas, and I don't know what he was doing. And he says, "Gee, that's too bad. You left Boston, Mr. Cherry." I said, And he said, where are you coaching this year? I said, Colorado. He says, is that in the National Hockey League? Little did I know.
So, Dad, the big thing today, well, this is Sunday, and then this afternoon the, what is it, the Heritage Game? I just call it the Outdoor Game. I don't even
know.
Outdoor Game.
Heritage Games. How do they get to the Heritage Game? Outdoor Game.
Toronto, Buffalo at the Tim Hortons Field in Hamilton, and you were at the first one.
I was at the very first one. I was at about six. I think the one in Washington was pretty good, but I think the best one of all was the very first one between Edmonton and Montreal. That stands was full, and those people, they stayed after the game, and we didn't know whether we were going to play the game or not because the ice was so cold. It was so cold that the ice was cracking.
Yeah, it was minus 17 without the wind chill.
All I can remember is you having not a very heavy coat. You had a nice coat on. Dressed up like, you know.
And Gretzky had a nice
parka.
No, he was pretty good. He was dressed. Oh, yeah. And Guy Lafleur.
Didn't you have a cowboy hat?
I had a cowboy hat,
yeah,
but that's the only thing I had on that was warm. And Ron was dressed like Nanook of the North. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Well, I think, you know what I think really made that was that picture of Jose Theodore wearing the toque.
Well, he had to because it was so cold. And that toque, I guess it was a classic.
They said once everybody saw that, the toque got sold out. You couldn't buy it. You had a Montreal Canadian toque on. And I think, you know, everybody that's played hockey outdoors, you've wore a toque like that.
Well, you have a theory, too, that there'd be 24,000 there.
Yeah, I think, like, a lot of times now, I was reading in the media that, oh, you know, it's lost its jam and it's lost
I don't like to jump in, Tim, but it seems to me that it's a big deal in the city that it's in, but outside of that, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, because the coverage is never good. The cameras are so far away, it's not that good. But I think it's good, because especially like in Toronto, because a lot of guys want to take their kids to a Leaf game. And, like, you know, you got to mortgage the house to go down to the ACC, whatever it's called, Scotia. So at least now you can take them to a hockey game and have a chance to go and see the Leafs.
24,000 there.
24,000. I mean, and I think, you know, that's the media doesn't understand that. They poo-poo it. But I think that's good that some people that can't afford or won't be able to go to a Leaf game can go to a Leaf game now.
I wonder what Matthews thinks of the weather, because it is cold right now.
Yeah. Do you know that the first one they did, you'd be interested in this, the first time they tried an outdoor game was an exhibition game at Caesar's Palace.
In
the parking lot at Caesar's Palace.
Oh, really? Wow.
And they had this special, you know, thing to freeze the ice, and they had the lights on. And by the second period, what happened was the lights attracted tons of grasshoppers. No. And the grasshoppers were falling. They were falling onto the ice and were freezing in the ice.
No.
So they had to stop the game every once in a while and scrape all the bugs off the ice. But the other thing I remember about those outdoor games, remember when Orpik hit Crosby?
Oh yeah,
and gave him a concussion.
And they said, well, he didn't see him. Didn't see him. I get in trouble with that one too. I says he knew exactly what he was doing. He gives it a little. I said he didn't look back. I mean, if you bump into something, you'd look back to see what it is.
That's right.
Orpik never even looked back.
And like Crosby,
and you were really criticized for saying that. I remember.
Well,
that.
Yeah, and I said he did it on purpose, and he did do it on purpose
because Crosby came back and played that game, and nobody made a big deal of it, and you did say, "Look what he did here," because remember Crosby did like a 360; he just spun right around.
Oh yeah, he was spinning on the ice.
And then it was the next game; somebody just lightly bumped him, and then that was it. And then he had a concussion. Yeah. And they says, "Oh, he got a concussion from that." Well, no, it was
from Orpik.
Orpik almost took his head off.
But Orpik was a tough guy.
So, Dad, a lot of people are wondering: the Leafs goaltending struggling, Mrazek struggling, as they say, Campbell's hurt. They got a rookie in there. If you're Keefe, you're the coach, do you say, okay, guys, we got to tighten up the defense, we got to get back, or do you just say, let them go and we'll win 6-5?
Well, you got to go with Soupy Campbell.
But he's hurt right now.
But when he comes for the playoffs, he'll be the guy that they'll start. The other guy has never you have an interesting thing about Anderson. Freddie Anderson, that he's leading the league right now. What is it?
Freddie Anderson, we were talking about that.
You know,
you liked him, and it was the media that ran him out of town.
Yeah, I really liked him.
Because they said, oh, he can't stop in the playoffs and blah, 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 and then look what happened. So he's in with the Hurricanes. He's only making $1.2 million more than Mrazek, which I find that hard to believe.
I don't know why they didn't keep him. Anderson, I really, really liked him.
I just think the media ran him out of town, Dad.
Yeah.
You know, the Toronto media does that.
Yeah,
is it my imagination that a lot of the goalies shine after they leave the Leafs?
It seems that way.
I'm thinking of Reimer, one of my favorites.
Yeah. No, I don't know. There's a lot of pressure here. Soupy Campbell will tell you that. Mrazek will tell you that.
But do you say, okay, we got to tighten up defensively, or you just say...
You have to let it go. You cannot put pressure on the more pressure you put on goaltenders, the more they, well, I don't know what.
No, but I'm saying, do you tell them, okay, guys, we got to back
up. No, just let it go.
Just let it go?
Yeah, because you'd like to get everybody would like to get a Weber or Peter Angelo or somebody like that. You just can't get them. And so I think they're good enough. We'll see in the playoffs. You know, and nobody says anything that Matthews and Marner only got one goal and the whole time in the playoffs. And they blamed it all on Anderson.
And then Campbell, they said, oh, he let that bad goal. And then game five? They did that to Alan Bester, the Toronto media, the 80s. They said, oh, he can't stop pucks between his legs. And then every shot that scored between his legs, the crowd would go bananas. And
yeah. Well, you're pretty powerful here. This is the mecca. You go to Vancouver. You'll hear the bigger cheer for a Leaf goal than you will for the home team. And that's the way it is. Toronto is the mecca of hockey.